Mizmor Chatzot used to be. Okay, Rabbi Sal, we're going to begin there. Rabbi Sal, we're going to begin. But today we begin with starting a new Mizmor, Mizmor Chatzot. Mizmor Chatzot used to be, back in the day, Tachanun. This was, and I think Ad Hayom Hazeh, the sum of the Sfaradim. I'm not all that familiar with Nuskh of the Sfaradim, but this Mizmor used to be the real. Gesundheit, the real Tachanun.
They do in Lubavitch.
They still say this in Lubavitch?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lubavitch, this is the real Tachanun. Why don't we Ashkenazim say this? Why don't we say this
why
Mizmor?
Why is that the real one?
Why? This is the real one. Why don't we say it? It's too dangerous. The opening pasuk is LeDavid, Eilecha Hashem, to you Hashem, Nafshi Esa. Okay, there are many ways to translate this. We'll look at the Mefarshim in a moment. But basically it means is, I give up my life to you. I'm willing right now to die this very moment to give up my life. Put your hand down on your. So basically, al tiftach pe l'sof. You're a person who is a holy person, and he says, Hashem, I am willing to give up my life for you. A holy person, Hashem says, you know, they still need you here in the world. I'm not going to take you seriously. But not every person. Not every person, is it?
When push comes to shove.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a much more difficult proposition.
The more holy you are, the more Hashem will take you seriously, and especially people tzaddikim, that people that say with a lot of intent, it can be very dangerous. Let's just leave it with that. Al tiftach pe l'satan. Now you'll say, so how come years ago they said it? And they didn't worry about anything. Good question. They were holier people, so they knew what to have in mind. I guess to say to Hashem, not so fast. We're willing to give up our neshama for you, but maybe not today. After 120 years, I don't know. It's a very spooky thing. But your person is saying over here, the words are literally translated that to you, Hashem, I'm willing to give away my neshama, to give it up. I'm willing to die now. Al kiddush Hashem.
I mean, it's hard for us to really think about the Siris Nefesh when,
We're living in America.
In times of persecution, obviously it meant more.
Right. It's right. Absolutely. So we're living in a different era today where for whatever the reason is, it's very dangerous to say such a thing. You have to even appreciate that people wanted very much to develop Kiddush Hashem. Everyone knows the story with the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, every night when he went to sleep, a malach came to learn with him. And he wrote a sefer, all of the things that the malach taught him, called the Magid D'Meshorim, from the Beis Yosef, I guess it's title. The malach told the Beis Yosef that you will die al Kiddush Hashem. And I'm assuming it appears that the Beis Yosef very much wanted to die. It's a very great thing, a person to leave this world, the Olam Haba is not to be imagined. No, the Kedoshim.
Quit while you're ahead?
I don't know what that means. I think I probably told you the story a few times. The Klezim Begareba, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, there was a fellow who, after the war, I guess not that long before he died, he did for the Rebbe a very, very big time. Tremendous, tremendous time. Something off the charts. And the Rebbe, the Klezim Begareba, said to him, I owe you. You really did something big. What could I do for you? You got me. What could I do to repay you for your kindness? So the person had the chutzpah to say to the Rebbe, I want to be with you in the next world. Guarantee me that in the Olam HaEmes, you'll take me into your mechitzas. So the Rebbe said, no way, impossible. It's why? The Rebbe rolled up his sleeve and he said, I have a number and you don't. And therefore, it's impossible. It's impossible. Someone that went through it, I just a Metzias. I have a number and you don't. And there's nothing, no matter what chesed you did for me, you're not coming with me in the next world. The next world, I go to a special place because I have a number.
There was a quote this week that the Klezenberg Tzal used to say, that the one thing he misses about the Holocaust is that people walked, no one had a beard,
Achdus.
Even though he was a a Haredi, a Lutva, whatever.
It didn't matter if you're from a Shul or the Gereva. It didn't matter. Nothing mattered. All the same. 100%. Look, you know, he drew the Sabbath crazy. He was a Tzioni. After everything said and done, the closing of the Gereva was a big time Zionist.
Sure.
Whether you like it or not, that's the truth. And his cousins, the Satma, the Rabbi Yoel,
uncle?
Yeah. Rabbi Yoel was his uncle?
Uncle.
They couldn't live with it. They couldn't live with it. But he said, you can't come with me. I have a number. So we don't understand what it means to die Al-Kiddush
Hashem. Even Rabbi Yoel can't go because he doesn't have a number.
That's right. That's what the closing of the Gereva said. That's exactly what he said. We don't understand this. Baruch Hashem, Chas Hashem, we don't understand what this means. But people who died Al Kiddush Hashem, they have a special place. And when we read this Mizmar, Elech Hashem, the Beis Yosef, the one who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, the one who wrote the ultimate parish on the Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah, and the one who wrote the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, and then wrote the Shulchan Aruch, who wrote a parish on the Tour, and then wrote the book, Shulchan Aruch. He was told by the Malach that he will die, and it sounds from the story that he wanted very much to die Al Kiddush Hashem, but it never happened. It's a very big mystery. It's a very big mystery that he never ended up dying. He died a natural death. He did not die Al Kiddush Hashem, and this was a very big mystery as to what happened. What happened to that? It was like a well-known thing.
Who are we talking about?
The Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef was told by the Malach that came to learn with him every night that he will die Al Kiddush Hashem. And it seems from the story that he wanted to die Al Kiddush Hashem to merit a very special chelik in Olam Haba. Rabbi Akiva, he died, he was 120 years old. So when he died, Kol Yomai, my entire life, I was waiting for this moment, Rabbi Akiva died Al Kiddush Hashem. Here in this mizma we are mespala l'David elecha Hashem nafshi, to you Hashem nafshi my neshama esa I present. We'll see in a few moments what esa comes from.
Adam Fashim said it's not
esa bitfila. There are different perushim. There are different perushim. Many of the Mepharshim say it means a mincha. Oh, okay. There are different perushim, but I'll show you inside in a few moments. But one of the popular perushim is that David HaMelech is saying that I want to give up my neshama to you, and that is the reason why this mizmar was selected originally to be tachanun, because tachanun, after the person finishes Shemona Esrei, what do you say? I'm giving up my neshama to you. You fall on the floor. Really, we don't do it today, but they used to fall on the floor, and it was an expression of giving up your life to Hashem. At some point in time in history, the Chachamim advised that people should stop reciting this mizmar as tachanun because it's just plain and simple too dangerous. We're not on this level of giving up our neshama. It's better live Al Kiddush Hashem than die Al Kiddush Hashem. There was a shift in the approach to life. And the Chacham, I don't know which generation, they said, stop it, cut it out. Okay, this should not be the mizma that is selected for tachanun. And we replace it. We replace it with a different mizmah. We replace it with Hashem al.
Hold on a minute.
We replace it with a different mizmah. We say every single day, Hashem al bi'apecha sochicheni v'al b'chamoscha siasreini morzabak kasha, and the request to die al kiddush Hashem, we do it indirectly by falling on our face, but we don't actually attach to our actions of lying on our arm the words of willing to give up our neshama to Hashem to die Al Kiddush Hashem.
So who made the change?
I don't know. I told you, I don't know.
The Sfardim said.
Yeah. The Lubavitch also says it.
They
still say this. We do not. The reason why we do not say it's brought down all over the place. The reason why we do not say this is because it's just too dangerous. We're not on a level to say such things, to say, Hashem, I want to die. It's not an approach. It was cut out. Now, by the way, that's why that is also this is the push of how serious this is. The nusach, many Hasidim don't say tachna. Why don't they say tachna by mincha? Shachar is no excuse. Shachar, there's no excuse not to say tachna. But by mincha, there are many Hasidim that do not say tachna by mincha because when you combine saying to Hashem, I want to die, with saying this in the late afternoon or even evening, because as we learned last week, when the person says tachanun, he's going into a time machine and entering into the evening. Mincha is a prayer that one says as it gets dark, the end of the day. The nighttime is a zman of din. And when you compound din with din, it's dangerous. It's dangerous enough to say, I want to die shachas in the morning. But it's not, but at least when you say, I want to die in the morning, at least since it's the zman of chesed, in the morning the sun first is rising, and it is a time of kindness, then, you know, so the chesed dilutes the din. But to say tachna, I want to die, I'm willing to give up my life to you, Hashem, in the evening, so it's a zman of din, you're saying words that are dangerous, al tiftach pe l'satan, a person is bringing upon himself dangerous things. So therefore, many people, they never say tachna, or at least they don't say tachna when it's late in the day. When it's early, mincha gedoyla, so then it's too early.
First mincha meaning says tachna, and the rest of.
I think the Ger Rebbe was a couple of years ago made a very public statement that the early minyanim for mincha must say tachna, no excuses. And the later minyanim for mincha, those who daven later in the day, they can be lenient. They don't have to say tachna. Tachna is a rishus. There's no chiyuv to say tachna. Tachna is a rishus, but Klal Yisrael was mekabel, so you know it's like ma'ariv. Ma'ariv is a rishus, but anyone who doesn't have a ma'ariv is in chutz l'machne. Okay, it's not going to be good for that person. You have to daven ma'ariv. Klal Yisrael was mekabel as a choiva. Tachna ne'ikarim is a rishus. Klal Yisrael was mekabel as a choiva. There are exceptions. Later in the day, people do not say tachna because it's a zman of din, and saying tachna, you are expressing, you're making a statement, I'm willing to die for you. So today, at least by Nusach Ashkenaz, we don't explicitly say the words, I want to die. We've changed the Mizmor to Mizmor Vav, which is not nearly as explicit, but it's clear as day that Mizmor Chafhei was the original Mizmor to say for Tachan because of this first pasuk, to you Hashem, I lift, the word Esau literally means to lift up. There are many different perushim. Kalman was alluding to different perushim, what this means, but it literally means I give away my neshama to you, I'm willing to die. Okay, we'll see that. We'll talk about that in a few moments. There's another very important thing you said about this Mizmor. This is the first Mizmor where we witness the appearance of the Aleph Beis. This Mizmor is the first time we have the Aleph Beis from beginning to end. The first Pasuk Beis is Elokai as an Aleph. Then it says Bicha's Beis. Okay, now that the Beis is unique because the Beis does not begin the Pasuk. Then Pasuk Gimel is Gimel. And then Pasuk Dalet is Dalet, Dirachecha. And then Pasuk Hei is Hadri Cheni. Pasuk Vav. Now, where's the Vav? Vilam Deini. There's a Psik, Vilam Deini. And then Pasuk Zayin is Zachar. And you have every single letter with, except for the Kuf. Every letter, you go in order, beginning with the Pasuk. There are only three letters that are missing. They're not missing. They're in the Pasuk. Irregular pattern, that is the Beis, the Vav, and the Kuf. Book. Book. What does book mean? Okay, there are different perushim different perushim as to what book. Shalom Aleichem, how are you? Nice to see you. There are different perushim as to what book. What is the word book? Beis, Vav, Kaf. The three letters that are missing in this mizmor are Beis, Vav, Kaf. Book. Book means empty, or book is another word for Gehenna, Gihinom. Okay, so what does it have to do? The perushim are not very satisfying, but it's a mystery as to why those letters are are not, do not appear in the beginning of the pasuk like everything else. Now this b'chlal begs the question, why in general, we take this for granted, the Aleph Beis, it has an order. And it's very important, for example, you say Ashrei. Ashrei, it's missing the letter Nun. The letter Nun is now, it's not really missing, it's missing over here. Because I take it back, it is really missing. Samach, Sameh Hashem L'chol HaNefem, it's really out of order. It's out of order.
It's deliberately omitted.
Because Lo Yisrotei, there should not be we don't want to say Nechem. The Nun represents Nofel. It represents also full down. But you could ask the question, whoever said that the letter Nun, the letter Nun is part of, the order is correct. In Ashrei, the letters are not in order. Those two letters, Samach Nun. It's first Nun, then Samach. But in Ashrei, it says, Soimech Hashem L'chol HaNoiflem. First comes the Samach, then comes the Nun. So maybe we can argue that the correct order of the Aleph Beis is first Samach, and then Nun. In Eicha, all of the chapters in Eicha are according to the Aleph Beis. But there's a problem. In Eicha, the Ayin and the Pei are out of order. The Ayin and the Pei are out of order. First comes the Pei, then comes the Ayin. Chazal said because they put their mouth before their eyes. That they said things that they did not see. They were not honest in their attitude, in the things that they said. They said things without knowing firsthand that they are correct, except for one perek, where there the ayin comes first and then the pei is in the correct order. Now there Chazal says, so why is there one exception in the Gilas Eicha that the ayin comes first and then the pei, when every other perek, the pei comes first and the ayin. So the Chazal said, because if it didn't have one perek in the correct order, we may be misled to believe that the real order, the correct order, is first the pei, then the ayin. In other words, how do you know the order of the Aleph Beis? Who says that we even know what that is? So basically the answer is, it's Misora. It's the ultimate halacha l'moshe
m'sinai. What they do in first grade.
the ultimate misora that you even know the order of the Aleph Beis, that's halacha l'moshe m'sinai.
How about ABC, the English alphabet? Who determined that? If it started that, you know.
Latin. That comes. I don't know. I don't know. Every language. Every language has a alphabet.
Well,
every language. Greek.
English,
so that was made by those are man-made. Those were man-made. Lashon HaKodesh is sacred. How do we know the order is correct? Look over here in this mizmor. We have all those of the Aleph Beis, but there's some discrepancies. We have over here the Beis. Really, there's no Beis. It starts at Elokai, Pasuk Beis, and Pasuk Gimel goes to the letter Gimel. There's no real base. So some of the Farshim, they have to struggle, they have to say, for whatever the reason is, the base of Bicho, that's the base. That's where the base. Who says? Maybe Taka, there's no such letter as the letter base. I remember once, there's a guy, I actually know him very well, his name is Yishol Bauman. He made years ago, phenomenal, they actually, it was for real, they called up an operator, they did like a joke, he told me the whole story. It's available online. He called up the operator and he made believe he was a joker. He didn't do this. Someone told me his name.
A prank.
And a prank. They called up an operator and they had everything recorded professionally. And they said he wants to talk to his friend Brecha. The guy made believe. You don't remember this?
It's a whole routine.
The guy made believe that he's totally ignorant. It's a very sad thing because there's a lot of truth to it.
Yeah.
It's very, 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 very sad. A person has no education. He went to a Hasidish yeshiva. Doesn't know the alphabet, and he calls up the operator and he says he wants to talk to his friend Yankel Brecha. I want to talk to Yankel Brecha. So he had a 20-minute conversation with the operator. The operator is such an edle person. Now, I always thought that this was, you know, there was a script. This was for real. The operator was for real. And he told me they did this many, many times until they got it right, because most of the operators lost patience instantly and they just hung up, get lost. So then, what?
Till you find the Hillel?
What do you mean the Hillel? So I don't remember much. You probably can find it online, but one day I remember he goes, he says, A, B, C, D. He's like, how do you spell it? So the guy, so this Hasidic guy goes, he starts singing the alphabet from kindergarten, right? And then he goes, then the last letter of the alphabet was Cho. There is no Cho in the ABC alphabet. Cho, Cho. I'm illustrating that is that there are sounds that are not part of the actual, is every single sound that we pronounce, is that part of the Aleph Beis? I really don't know what I'm saying. I don't know how all this works. But I'm trying to say is that the letter Beis, who says that the letter Beis is part of the letters of the Aleph Beis? Who says it has the same status? Who says the letter Kuf and the letter Vav? Who says they have the same carry, the same weight in the Aleph Beis? Obviously they do. Obviously we have a Mesor, there are 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, which expands to 27, and each letter has the full toikef of Kiddusha. You've never heard giving some letters of the Aleph Beis a secondary status. You've never heard such a thing. The Gemara Masech, the Shabbos stuff, I think it's that daf, Tzadi Ches, that Tinoikos, the Shlomei Shabbos, came to the Beis Medrash and they said things that Afilu Mimos Yoshua Binun were not said. And there the Gemara darshins every single letter of the Aleph Beis with the same weight. Mm-hmm. Now, what nafka meaning will it make? I don't know. But look at this Mizmar. This Mizmar, the Beis is really missing. The Vav is missing. The Kuf is missing. Look at Ashrei. In Ashrei, the Nun is missing. And even if you go say there is Nun, it's out of order. Look at Eicha. In Eicha, they are missing the Kuf, the Pei and the Ayin are out of order. Okay, and there are more. There are more Mizmorim where...
Shabbos, we say one of them.
Well, Shabbos, we say... what do we say in Shabbos? In
Sukkot
de Zimra. They are. So how do we know what is the correct Aleph Beis? There are so many discrepancies in Scripture. The answer is, it's Halacha L'Moshe Yisinai. That's the bottom line. The bottom line is, in Klal Yisrael, even though in this Mizmar there are discrepancies, there's Halacha L'Moshe Yisinai. Another very interesting thing is, why does there have to be an order? When we look at the Aleph Beis, so very makbid that everything should be in order. First, who made the order? Who says that there is an order, and who says that there needs to be an order? Why can't it be there are 22 letters of the Aleph Beis? Scramble them! There has to be a Seder? Why is that necessary? There's something about the order. Lel Pesach, we know we have a Seder. Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, Magid, Rochza, Moitzimatza. Seder. In the Torah, we have a rule over and over again, Ein Mukdom U'me'uchar Ba'Torah. There's no order.
The Matrius, it would be very, how would you know the Matrius? Hanu and Aleph is one, and Beis is two. And Gimel is three. All the Gematria are based on
numbers.
On the order.
You're saying Gematria, so maybe we will completely ignore the Gematrias. Maybe in Ephraim, there are Halacha L'Moshe Mesina. You're saying a very interesting idea. There are a handful number. 95% of the Gematrias that we have today are all make-believe. Okay, it's all like, it's very nice. It's no one ever became frum because of a Gematria. No one that was Chosdem Shuvah became frum because he was so impressed with the Gematrias. That's not the way. Even the codes. Okay, some of you know the Torah codes, which are absolutely astonishing. Yeah. They've done. Ar Sinech did a study. They supposed they did a study because they came with a lot of criticism. Where one of the men of the seminars is where they gave a, these very powerful seminars on the divine nature of the Torah with codes, yeah. And they came under a lot of criticism because there were many mathematicians that were not impressed with the codes. They thought, yeah, these are nice codes, but there's some will target. You go in Shakespeare and you go, you try to go do some of these codes, you'll find some amazing things in Shakespeare as well. So not to deny the fact that there are certain codes that are just beyond belief, that are shocking, but to make everything into, to prove, you know, the divine nature of the Torah, to show it based upon codes, there were people that were very disturbed with this approach, and they were very critical. And Ar Samech, to their credit, listened to the criticism, and they basically did away, they stopped. They stopped doing it. And now that they stopped doing it, they did a study. So this is what I've read. Is it true or not? I don't know. So I've read, they've done a study, and they asked people that they were successful, who chayzeh b'shuva, and they did a study, and they asked them, to what degree did the Bible codes influence you to be chayzeh b'shuva? And basically the answer was zero. No one who became frum because of the Bible codes. Those who became frum were chayzeh b'shuva because they appreciated the authenticity of Torah. It's not because the Bible codes. The Bible codes are very nice, they're very fascinating, but that's not what does it. However, Rav Nachum Sperling is pointing out, Eliezer is pointing out, what about like the Gemara Yiyya? How do you know that a Nazir, the shortest term for a Nazir is 30 days? So it says, Gadel Yiyya, there are two Yuds, and there are two Hays, the Gematria is 30, from there we know that the shortest term is 30 days. So he's saying something very, very fascinating. That's the Gemara, the Gematria, the Masaira, 30 days, and that is based on a Gematria. Now, a Gematria only is a Gematria, I'm saying something that's very fascinating, is if there's a Seder. If there's a Seder, Aleph is 1, Beis is 2, Gimel is 3, Dalet is 4, Yud is 10, okay, then, and a Chanam. So he's saying the fact that we do see in the Masaira, there are a handful number of Gematrias that are in the Torah. V'noshantem ba'aretz. V'noshantem ba'aretz, Rashi Chazal there said that you can be in the land for 400 and
No, Shantem is 952.
And that's why Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim after 950. So it should not come to Toichacha, all the clones that are said afterwards should not be fulfilled. Therefore, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, we were exiled a little bit before, a year before. 852, and not 800. So Klal Yisrael went into Golis at the year 850, not 851, because in the rules of Gematrios you can be off by one. So you find scattered a handful number of Gematrios which Chazal pay enormous attention to, and these Gematrios. What? Adbash. So you see, Adbash is not a number system. Adbash is interchange. It's interchanging. I don't think there's a numbers. Oh, so you need the order. You need the order. In order to switch from Aleph to Tav, you have to know that Aleph is the first letter and Tav is the last letter. That's right.
Adbash and Gematria are combined.
There are many complicated systems.
Yeah.
All of this only works based upon a principle that there is a precise order. You know, we like brainwash. Of course there's an order. Of course there's an order. Who says there has to be an order? Adarabba, Chazal say, a mukdam u'mu'ukha b'Torah. There is no order in the Torah.
Yeah, but if the Aleph phase was for the building blocks of the universe, and the universe has the Seder, then the building blocks need to have the Seder.
You're talking Maral talk now. Mm-hmm. Who says the world has a Seder? The world is l'mal l'mader chateva, it's Hashem's world. Hashem created the world. Why does the world, I mean, we're so accustomed to this, we can't even think out of the box.
By the way, I'll take that as a compliment.
I meant it as a compliment.
The morality is also able to look at that sense of
phenological.
No, I think it's a concept. And looking at Torah doesn't just mean, it means a lot of things. And looking at Torah is a very powerful statement that in the Torah, I mean, there are rules. You can't just ignore all the rules. There are certain rules in the parasha. There is mukta mukha. It's not even so simple. Learn some daf gemara. You find some very strange things. How things are not in order. Many different dimensions. We are so accustomed to believing that there has to be a seder. Now, in this world, in the olam hateva, nature, there has to be a seder. Obviously, in the world, you can't go build a building. You can't do anything unless you have a seder. But the Torah is not this world. The Torah is divine. Who says in the Olam HaRuchni it follows the same rules where the letters must be perfectly aligned with an order that you can't budge? You can't. The Torah is not a davar gashmi. Torah is davar ruchni. Davar ruchni has its own set of rules. Yet, it is a given that in the Torah, one of the most basic principles of the Aleph Beis, more so than what the letters actually mean, what they represent, is Seder. Seder, Seder, Seder. And this goes into very deep concepts of morale, is that in the Olam HaRuchni, there is Seder. And in fact, the Seder of the Olam HaRuchni is even more in order than the Seder of the Olam HaGashmi. There's even a greater order. So this Mizmor, L'David Elecha Hashem Navshi Esa, I'm giving away my neshama to you. And then David, for the first time in Tehillim, at least in the way the Mizmorim are ordered in Tehillim, okay, also a Seder, David is giving a Seder for the very first time. We discussed this, that you know, the Mizmorim in Tehillim are not in chronological order. We are jumping back and forth in the life of David, different concepts. It's not in order. There's no Seder to Tehillim. Yet within the Mizmor, within the Mizmor itself, David is presenting the Seder of the Aleph Beis in a very precise order. So this is something to think about as we go through some of the ideas in this Mizmor we'll come across. So let's see some. Let's read some Sukkim. Then I'll read some selected Farsha to review most of what I just said. The Pasuk Beis says, so read the Sukkim. Then we'll come back. Elokai. Let's look over here. Let's look first at the Mitzudas. The Mitzudas Pasuk Aleph and the Nafshi Esa Emsar Nafshi L'chol Limono. The Mitzudas stuff is translating the word Esa as a gift. Look at the Mitzudas Sion Esa Inyan Mincha V'Doyroin. The word Esa, according to the Mitzudas and many others on this page, means a gift. How do you know that? He quotes a very powerful pasuk by Yosef the Bos. Vayisa Masos Me'es Panav. When he reunited with his brothers, he gave them gifts. Yosef gave to his brothers gifts. He lifted up Masos. That's the same word. Aleph, Sin, Aleph. That's the repetition. Vayisa Masos Me'es Panav. And there means gifts. He gave his brothers gifts. So you see the word Hashem, I'm giving my neshama to you as a gift. And this also this very much touches upon, we'll see this in a moment in the Malm, that the Nimos HaMashiach, what will the Umos HaOlam, it's a beautiful, beautiful section in Yeshaya, one of the most beautiful sections in Yeshaya, in Yeshaya's vision of Ikus HaMashiach, Nimos HaMashiach, what will the Umos HaOlam, the Malchei Umos HaOlam, give as a gift to the Melech HaMashiach? I always like to tell you that when Obama became president of the United States, he degraded, he insulted this country to such a degree, is that when he went to visit Queen Elizabeth, he presented her as a gift, I always tell you this, CDs, the latest videos of Hollywood, as if a 99-year-old lady needs to go watch all these Meshugayim, to go send, give her the most popular American movies, DVDs, whatever they had in those days. That's what you go give the Queen Elizabeth. You bring Queen Elizabeth, you bring her a silver, a leichter. You give her a Hanukkah menorah. Give her an Esrog box. This is what you give. You give her the DVDs of all the Ritzich, Avodah Zarah, Gilead Ayah, Shlich HaStamim. This is what you give Queen Elizabeth. What a bizayon. So what will the Umos HaOlam give the Melech HaMashiach in the times of Mashiach? So the Pasuk says they're going to bring Neshamais. What does it say in the Farshim? The Umos HaOlam are going to open up their archives, the secret records, and they're going to search high and low to discover who are Jews in the country. If the United States of America really wanted to look into people's yich, instead of wasting the time on this mishagas, they would use all of their resources of the government to search into the yichus of every single American citizen to determine mi Yehudi, who are the Jews in this country. pay, they'll go, they'll search, they have records, they have incredible records and archives, things you can't even begin to imagine. They're not interested. But if they were interested, they would direct all of their koichos and resources to go dig up records, to figure out who in this country is a ben achar ben from a Jew, or from the mother's side, obviously, a halachic Jew. And they would go and they would knock on this door, on their door. They would go and they would send it a SWAT team, and they would come and knock on a person's door in who knows where, and somewhere in a place you never heard of, and it would be a SWAT team, and they would say, we're here to take you, sir. We don't need time, we're just taking you, get into the paddy wagon. And they would take him away, and they would put him on a plane, and they would bring him to Eretz Yisrael, they would present him to the Melech HaMashiach. Here is a Yid. Here is a neshama of a Yehudi, of a Yisrael. He's yours. Fix him up. Polish him up. Be meshaperim. Teach him Torah. This neshama is the neshama of a Yisrael. That's what it says in Sefer Yeshayah. And Sefer Yeshayah, when the Mashiach will come, the Umos HaOlam will open their records, their archives, and will use their resources to search in their country for the neshamas of Klal Yisrael that have gotten lost in their country. And they will take them and they will present them as a gift, a mincha, to the Melech HaMashiach. This neshama is yours. In our country, somehow something went wrong. You went into Golus, this neshama came into our country. We should have been careful with him. We should have protected him and allowed him to be observant. It's our fault. We were mashpia upon him and he sunk. But now we are returning this neshama. Fix him up, polish him up, teach him Torah. Lubavitch, no? They'll be leading the way in this matter. It's a powerful thing. The ultimate gift you can give someone is a neshama. And here, in this respect, this is what David is saying about his own neshama. And now he's not giving it to the Melech HaMashiach, but he's saying, I'm being Moiser Nefesh, I'm giving you, Hashem, my neshama. I'm giving you my neshama as a gift. L'David, Eilecha to you, Hashem, Nafshi, my neshama, Esa, I present it as a mincha, a gift. Mitzud Asiyu, you can argue with this. Vayisa Masois Me'espanov, they received gifts in the presence of Yosef. Here, two words, repetition means a gift, same shayresh as what it says in the Pasuk above. Now, what does Rashi say? Nafshi Esau, Achavein Libi, he disagrees. According to Rashi, Rashi is disagreeing. Rashi came much earlier, of course, but Rashi is saying, no, the word Esau, Rashi is trying to be consistent with what it says later in this Mizmah. Later in the Mizmah, it's going to say the word kivisi. In Pasuk Hey, Rashi seems to be trying to have a consistent theme, and he says the word esa means achavein libi, I direct. Rashi, there's no remez in Rashi, the word esa means a gift. Rather, the word esa means I am focusing. I am directing my concentration towards you, Hashem. Doesn't have that, you know, that powerful. So Targum says it a little bit different. Etol bitzilo in a shade, in a shadow. I am taking shelter. The Targum over here is very unique. He's really going off script.
Bitzilo is a tefillah. Bitzilo is a tefillah.
Bitzaloisai. Tiskabel tsiloisahoin, tsiloisahoin. Okay, but I'm not sure what it means over here. I'm not sure. I really need to go study Targum much more to get a better, very important, one of the most important things. Okay, so you want to say it means I'm going to pray to. Esa means to daven. Tsiloisahoin, to pray. And I am focusing my attention to daven to you, Hashem. Okay.
Because it's a Shlomo Ketuva Esayet Vayisayet Kapav Yitpalel. That Shlomo Perek Tet Melachim.
Okay, correct. Let's take a look over here at Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis, I'm going to do a few psukim, we'll come back. We'll come back in a second. I'm going to see more some Meradach and some Malbum. But let's read a few psukim first. Elokai. Here we begin the Aleph Beis. Aleph, Elokai. And then we have the Beis Bicho. In you, Botach, Gaya Faith. Al Evoisha. Please do not let me be embarrassed. Al Tzu Oivaili. Let not my enemies exult. Let not my enemies have joy witnessing my downfall. Pasuk Gimel, Gam kol koyvecha lo yivoshu. Not only me, all those people that are koyvecha, that yearn for you. Yishu oscha kivisi Hashem. For your salvation do I yearn. Word kivisi, same davening, do I yearn. Gam kol koyvecha lo yivoshu. All those that yearn for you, they may be like me, not be embarrassed. However, yivoshu. Who should be embarrassed? Haboidim, those that rebel, Reikom, in those who rebel for nothing. It's hard to translate these words. Let's see the Mesugas of these two psukim. Plus, the Gil Mucha Batachti, Choyal Sin, Tzuvatachti Mucha, Yodati Shlo Evosh, I will not be embarrassed. V'lo Yismuchu Evai Bimapalti, my enemies will not rejoice in my downfall. Plus, the Gimel, Gam, Oz Gam, Kol Hamakavim, Lucha, those who yearn for you, Lo Yivoshu, Min Hamaligim, those, they will not be embarrassed from those that mock you. Min hamaligim, all those that yearn for you will not be embarrassed from those, from the our enemies that mock us. Ki yiru, they will see, ki yesh tikva, the tzaddikim that yearn for you will see that there is hope. There is hope. You see yesterday in the news, a chutzpah in Georgetown, there was a graduation. From the elite Ivy League school, and a student gets up there when he gets his diploma, and he takes out a Palestinian flag, and he waves the Palestinian flag as he gets his diploma, and many of the students in the audience start cheering. It's unbelievable chutzpah, tremendous. And who's sitting on the dais there? A lot of the, you know, some of the members of Biden's cabinet. Quiet. They just ignore it. Dealing over here, Malchigim, people that mock in a public way, they mock Klal Yisrael, terrible, terrible things. So we need a couple. We need a couple of years in the spotlight. We should not be embarrassed. We should not be threatened by those who mock the Jewish people. Haboidim, avlaboidim b'reihem chinam. Now here's the hard part of the pasuk. Those that rebel against their friends for no good reason, hein yevoishu. They will be put to shame. Now, what did Reikam in this context? Me, Paz, look at the Mitzvah Tzion, Reikam, Bechinam, those, so the Mitzvah doesn't really say it as well, those who betray their friends for no good, for nothing. V'chein v'achaltzat tzorai Reikam, I will escape my enemies. I'm not sure what that means over there. We had that before, not that long ago, to go back and review. But over here it means those bira'im mechinam for no good reason. Sometimes you have a person that just, that for nothing, they betrayal. What is betrayal? There's no good reason. There's no good reason for you to turn your back on your friend. And therefore, it says over here, the people that should be embarrassed are habaydim reikam, the people who betray. Who betray them for no reason? There are people. You know, there are people out there. People out there that you know now. But the worst thing in life is when someone betrays you, and they betray you for nothing, for over nonsense. They're your friends. You know, people you work with people for so many years, and you have a very good relationship with people. And then one day, like talk about the Nazis, how many stories you have like this, where people they develop relationships with Goyim. And then all of a sudden, the Germans march into town, and then your next door neighbor, who you have had a very fine, secure, meaningful relationship, all of a sudden they don't know who you are. And they're the first ones to give you over to your enemies.
Look
for a friend. For what? What did they get out of it? For nothing. All the Askar, we had the Klal Yisrael until COVID came along. It was always in the news, Askar. Not the real Askar. People that represented the film communities here in America to the government. Very distinguished people who dealt with governors, dealt with, you know, Congress, dealt with the president. And then COVID came along, and there are so many stories where, on a whim, the yeshivas had a need, you know, the film community had certain needs. And in a moment, the elected officials, they looked at these askanim, who were, you know, the intermediaries between the community, like they're garbage. Garbage. Years and years of developing relationships between these askanim to represent Klal Yisrael to the government. The government looks at these people like they're total garbage. We have an agenda, and we don't want to know from you people. We don't want to know from you. And it was such a shock. What?
The mission of Pirkei Avos. Get
out.
They only when they want you.
Only when they want you. Stay away from the Rishus. From the government. When they need you, they want your vote. Everything is fine and good. And a lot of these from Askanim, they look like fools. The mamish look like mamish fools. The government just despised them and rattled on them and said the nastiest thing, because now that we have an agenda, we have whatever it is, we don't even want to talk to you. And it's a horrible thing. It's a horrible, horrible feeling. And that's what it's in Retzon means Reikon. Boigdin Reikon means betrayal. Betrayal over nothing. Over nothing, over nonsense. Not looking to find a solution, not looking to talk to people altogether, just to dismiss people out of just with nothing for no good reason. It's a very, very dangerous thing. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi Dibur Masalov says, Abudim Breakam Ha Gazlonim. Who are the Boydim? Ha Gazlonim, the Hacham Sonim, thieves, people who engage in extortion, Hamashivim Eswanim Rekam Minichsim. So here you have a new interpretation. Those that return, that Moshivim, send away the anim, reka minichsem, clean you out. K'moy v'achalotza means to clean out, sororoi, my enemies, reikam, sorori, reikam, with nothing. So what it means, according to Rashi, Rashi is saying a different interpretation than the Mesubah started. It means you clean out your enemy, you don't leave over even a light bulb. Someone robs someone told me who lives in California. He lives in California, so he hasn't seen this guy in a very long time. And he's coming and says, well, he lives in San Francisco. There's terrible, terrible crime. Terrible crime. So he says he comes home. They cleaned out the whole house. Nothing, nothing left. Even the refrigerator. Even the refrigerator. They took everything in the refrigerator. They did, though, leave over one beer. In other words, they cleaned out the whole house. All the furniture, you name it. He went away. He came back. The house was beer. Even the refrigerator, only left over one beer. So he said, I was like the Bar Dishra. I opened up the refrigerator, I said, Mustafa was a Jew. Roiv Ganve Yisrael. Riboy Yisrael, look at your people. Look at your Ganavim. They had Rachmanis. They left me a beer. They left me a beer. They cleaned out the whole house. They took the appliances. They took all my property. They cleaned out the refrigerator. But look, they have a neat sense of kedusha. They left me a beer.
$5.
Okay. So the boygdim are so evil. They don't even leave you a beer. They clean you out. Nothing. I remember someone told me when they did a closing on a house. The people who sold the house were so wicked. They were so nasty. After the closing was over, they came into the house. There wasn't even one light bulb in the house. The person who sold in the house cleaned out the house, spotless clean. They took with them the light bulbs. Every light bulb they took out. They didn't forget to leave over for the new owner even a light bulb. I don't know what the protocol is. But Mustafa, when you sell property, you leave over at least one, you know, you take the fixtures, I don't know what you do, but you leave over at least one light bulb. Not even a light bulb. Wake up. Nothing. That's what it says. Habaydim, who will ultimately be embarrassed? Those that are Yevoshu, Habaydim, Wake up. According to Rashi, they betray, it doesn't say the word betray, boigdim, they rebel against you, which means they steal and they engage in extortion and they leave you with nothing, not even a light bulb, not even a beer, not even a bottle of water, nothing. Mitzudas disagrees. The Mitzudas appears to say the word boigdim reka means people who betray you over nothing. Why did you betray us? Why did you sell us down the river? Why? What did you get out of this? What did you get out of this? You got money out of this. You got COVID out of this. Why did you do this? What did you gain? What did you gain out of reporting us and out of being this to us and harming us? What was in it for you? We were so good to you all these years. We did it with you with so much kindness. We always had your back. And now we turn around, you stab us in the back. And for what? You get money, COVID, you got a job, you got nothing out of this. Raker! That's the worst. When someone betrays you over nothingness. Two very different perushim. Now let's see over here some of the mafarshim before we finish. The few things I marked off. Let's look first at what it says in the Sepurno. The Sepurno over here on the page 222. Okay, page 222 over here on the top. It's on the top left. Bazeh ha-mizmar hispalel al avoin ba-sheva. Uvike shlo yasigu ha-mordin bo mi-yishol eschef sam negdoi. Okay, so here, over here, we have to keep this in mind and see if there are any hints to this throughout the entire mizmar. David over here, David in this mizmar over here is coming to a mispal that Hashem should forgive him. Or basically, do not allow his enemies to exploit what happened with Bathsheba. David Bathsheba is a very complicated prop, very complicated issue. Whatever that means, it means. But there are people that can go and can take
that's
this.
Later.
What?
That was said later.
Later on. But just because a person did an Aveira, don't take it out of proportion. I don't want my enemies to take this indiscretion, this Aveira, and blow it way out of proportion. That's really what it means. And over here, that's exactly what David here is doing. Mispalel, I made a mistake. I did a chait. I have to do teshuvah. But don't let my enemies take this chait and destroy me over it. I'll do whatever I'm supposed to do. There's a process of teshuvah. There are consequences. I have to deal with it. I have to deal with my chait. But everything has to be in the correct proportion. That's how the Sepurno learned shot in this mizmar. The Perush Arid, okay, Perush Arid just as a one-liner, al atzmo hayam mispalel. In reference to what? Doesn't really say what he means over here. What is it referring to? Now the next page, let's look at the Radak. The Radak pasuk aleph ledavid elech Hashem nafshi ze hamizmar. I'm on page 223. L'davrei lech Hashem nafshi yesu zeh mizmar nema be'alof beis v'chen yesh achedim b'sefer kamohu. The Radak says there are many mizmarim in Sefer Tehillim that are written according to the letters of the Aleph beis. It's the first time we came across such a thing so far. Mizmar chaf hei. There are many more like this. V'yesh ois, there's a letter b'roish kol pasuk. Then in brackets it says v'yesh shnei pisukim b'ois achas, like this pasuk Aleph. Pasuk beis is Aleph. Elokai b'cha v'tachti, and then you have pasuk vav. Yeah, you have the vav is also pasuk dal, pasuk hey, hadricheni. One second. Okay, then we have pasuk hey, hadricheni v'amitecha v'lamdeni. There's a vav in v'lamdeni, but that's another pasuk. So we have over here, so the Radak over here says there are other, some psukim which have two letters. V'yesh, v'pasik echad shtei oisyes. V'loi noida etzleinu. Now he writes over here something very humble. Look at this, the Radak over here, not too often commentators, they tell you that they do not know. If you do not know, you don't write a parish. You don't promote your ignorance.
Only
Rashi
says.
Only Loyodati. Rashi. Over here the Radak of saying, v'loi noida etzleinu. He doesn't say, I don't know. He says a little bit different. It's not known to all of us. It's not known to all of us.
It's not that there's no reason. It's not that
Right. We just don't know what the reason is. We do not know Bibne Mob Be'elu Yoisa Bibrachedim. Ella im ki ki. He says that this is what came to David Alpi Ruach HaKodesh. There's a reason. V'yere shekol mizmor shnem bi'al beis lufi godloi. And what is saying over here? V'yere eh, it's seen, it's apparent. Shekol mizmor shnem bi'al beis lufi godloi. So he's saying a very important yisoid. This is something that's very powerful. He's saying a chiddush. Not every mizmor is the same. If you have to weigh a mizmor for its value, there is like when they say for Tehillim, someone is not well in yeshiva. So what do they say? Oh, we say Tehillim. So what do they say? Shir HaMalos. Why are they saying Shir HaMalos? Why is Shir HaMalos better than this mizmor? Why is Maskil David? You know, when you go to a funeral, they say Michtam David. Why? Why are you saying this mizmor, not this mizmor? So obviously there's a reason. Everything in its context. But he's saying over here very powerfully so that not every mizmor in Tehillim carries the same weight. And if you are limited in which mizmorim you are going to recite, you're going to study, you need a shortened version of Sefer Tehillim, you know which mizmorim carry weight? The ones that are arranged according to the letters of the Aleph base. That's what he says. Radak is a powerful insult. If not for the Radak saying this, who would say such a thing? Okay, in the Hanami, this mizmor, each pasuk is arranged according to the aleph base. Very nice poetry. And that crassly, very, it's aleph base. Okay, but I'm not in the mood to say this. I'd rather say a different mizmor. No, the mizmorim that have the letters of the aleph base, it is a statement that this mizmor carries more weight, more toikef than the other mizmorim. This is what he says. It's a very big chiddush. It's a very important chiddush. He says, "Nachum omtam was over here. V'yesh v'loy neidav ella imkain is damu v'yevah v'yei ro'eh shekol mizmor shenemar ba'aleph beis l'fi godloy. That's because of its greatness. It carries weight. U'l'fi hadavodim hanichbodim shenemarim bo nemar kain, because the words in the mizmor are very weighty, are very important. That's why it was David, Alpi Ruach HaKodesh, arranged it lefi the letters of the Aleph Beis. Then he goes on to point out, Vine Ein Bay Beis, Beroish Pasuk, the three letters we mentioned before, book, Beis Vav Kuf. These are the three mystery letters of this mizmor, because these letters do not appear at the beginning of the Pasuk, they appear in the middle of the Pasuk. All of the letters of the Aleph Beis, each letter appears at the beginning of a Pasuk, with the exception of the letter Beis, the letter Vav, and the letter Kuf. They appear in the middle of a pasuk. So why do those letters stand out? Okay, v'hinei ein boy beis, like in this pasuk beis, it says Elokai, that's the aleph, and then the beis is b'cha. They don't have their own beginning. Ein boy beis b'roish pasuk v'loy vav v'loy kuf v'yesh boy reish. Another unusual thing is the letter reish. The letter reish appears twice. Okay, there are two reishes. The end of the mizmor, two psukim that have reish. At the very end, we have, where is it? Okay, at the very end, Re'ei, Onyi, Va'amoli, and the next pasuk Yud Ches and Yud Tes, Re'ei, Oivai. So what's going on over here? So he basically says, I don't know, V'yesh by Reish, Le'epam, V'yesh, some say, Ki Abeis, Yimilas, B'cho, I don't know what this means. There is a base. Asmucha lelokai. Chinvav v'lamde. I told you that originally that we really do have these letters. They just appear in the middle of the pasuk. Deloy noida be'emes. We don't really know. We really don't know why it's like that. V'adrosh oimer beis chav chapez os. I don't know what that means. I have no idea what he means over there. I try to figure that. I don't know. Okay, we'll leave it with that. Now let's go to the next one. Over Perush, now here's one more very important. There are two things I want to finish before we finish. Let's go further. This next Radak. Again on page 223 in the Radak. Uperush, what does it mean? Nafshi Esau. So we learned already two Perushim. We learned what it says in the Mitzudos. I want to give my neshama to you, Hashem, as a gift. And we discussed that this was the original Tachanun. And then we discussed Rashi. I direct. Nafshi Esau. I am mechavein, I direct my neshama to you, Hashem. Everything that I do in my life is l'shem shemayim. Upei v'shnav she'yaso derech ha'derech t'china, it's a prayer. K'mon nisa levein al kapayim v'yesh v'farshim. Some say derech mincha. So he quotes basically Rashi and the Mitzvot. He's saying only both of those perushim, a mincha, k'mon v'yisa ma'asayis me'espanov, uvidrash k'mon de'ilav hunoisi esnav shay, k'mon ha'sochir shemachav eschoroi kein, ani akadeh, tuvcha v'chasodecha, a hired worker, he directs shemachaveh, he yearns for his reward. Okay, that's he's going back to the perush. Dover achen, nafshi esra zer she'omar, b'yotcha afkin ruchi padisa she'ausi Hashem kelemes. Now he's saying over here, in the morning. He's saying over here, a third shot. The third shot is to deposit. This mizmar is something that you do every single night when you go to sleep. When you say Birchas Hamapil, what does a person do? He deposits his neshama in Hashem's hands. And what does Hashem do? Hashem refreshes the neshama. And he gives a beautiful mashal. Kishadam Yashem, when a person goes to sleep, mafkid ruchai, he deposits his neshama eitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shema omad shachris v'loy mitzah. Maybe he'll wake up in the morning and it's not to be found. Harei kosuv, Hashem kel emes. Hashem is honest. Hashem always returns a person's neshama in the morning. Omar Rabbi Alexandri, b'nei shabolim, it's the custom of the world. Adam mafkid eitzel chaveroi chadoshim u'machaziron yishanim. A person, he lends his friend utensils. Yeah. So what does the person do? It doesn't come back in the same condition. When the person's day is over, the person's neshama is worn out. And he gives his neshama to Hashem. And what does Hashem do? Hashem refreshes the neshama. Hashem, when he returns what you've given him, it comes back in better condition. Not like Min HaGolam. Okay, you ever read Mishpacha magazine, Double Take? Everyone read it? It's very, very, very good. Very good, those Double Take stories. Very good topic of discussion. In fact, they present, I really enjoy those articles and I have a chance to read them. I haven't read one in months. 2 weeks ago I read one, I really liked it. Basically, what do they do there? They present a story and they present it from the perspective of one person. There are two people in the story and they present it through the perspective of Reuven, and then they repeat the entire story from the perspective of Shimon. And then they have letters to the editor going on for months discussing all the give and take. But they had mamish this exact thing where a woman, she had two best friends. And one, the whole story was about, it was a very, very, I thought it was very, very meaningful, very, very powerful mussar in this story, where there was two women, they were very, very good friends. One was very, came from a very wealthy family, and the other one was very poor. And the one that was very poor had a baby girl, and she asked her friend, can you do me a favor, do you maybe have some clothing, baby clothing, for my new daughter, because the other one already, her kids were bigger already. So the one that was very wealthy, she had designer clothing, the most expensive clothing that she dressed her little baby, money, whatever. So she begrudgingly, she lent her the clothing. She lent her the clothing, and she warned her 10 times to take very good care of the clothing. Don't you know, make sure that you keep it in top-notch condition. And the other person, the receiver, she did everything she could possibly do to keep the clothing in top-notch shape. But it wasn't good enough. And she gave it back to the lender. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't in the same condition. And it was tinus, whatever. So it's Mamish's example. A person, you give someone a gift, or you lend someone an object, no matter how good you take care of that object, when you give it back, it's not in the same condition. It's worn out. It's damaged. It's just not the same. And even if, And you know what the chiddush is? You know what the chiddush is? That's what the story really taught me. Even if it isn't in the best condition, brand new condition, the one who gave it, the lender, in their mind, it's not the same. That's the main insight. You can go.
You never use it.
I can go give you something, and that the recipient never touched it. Yet when they get it back a month later, in their mind, because I lent it to you, even though I know that you did not use it, it's not the same anymore. It wasn't in my possession. It's not the same. It's not the same quality.
It's the whole Gemara.
Unbelievable.
It doesn't require Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel doesn't need Kesar Kiss. That's you have the whole
I didn't use it. I just took it in the bag, in the box. I didn't open the box. You have a store. Someone buys something, Amazon, right? You go and you give it back. The guy didn't use it. Not the same anymore. What do you mean not the same? It's the same. The fact that you took it out, you ever buy a new car. The second the car is sold, it loses $2,000 just for being sold. It didn't leave the dealer. The car is in the parking lot. It didn't leave the dealer. Sold, it has already a used car. I didn't leave the parking lot.
That's right.
Doesn't matter. It's a metzius. So that's the way it is in this world. But by the Ribbono Shel Olam, just the opposite. The taka, the neshama, when the day is over, is worn out. You come home at night, you can't even just plop in the bed. Dead tired. And you give your, and then what happened? You give your neshama to Hashem, you're giving you to your Hashem a neshama that's worn. And what happens? Hashem gives you a fresh, vibrant new neshama in the morning. That's the measure here of this.
One of the Gedolim, I think it's the Chafetz Chaim, he says, Neshama shenatata b'tehorai, ata b'rata. And you get me, and he started to cry. He said, why are you crying? Because כתוב להחזירה בי לעתיד לבוא. So I spoiled it. It's not the same as what you gave me.
That's right.
Torah, now it's not Torah.
That's right. One last thing before we, because I want to go on to Marat Pasuk Dalet, but one last thing is the Chumash Anach. It's a very beautiful Chumash Anach, and this touched upon what I told you before about giving a gift of a neshama to the Melech HaMashiach. Pasuk Aleph in the Chumash Anach on page 223 from the Chidot. L'David, Elecha Hashem Nafshi Yesa, Perish Masif Eretz Chaim, D'makrav Doira L'Beinoni, when you give a gift to the average person, Mivioi B'chli Chesef, you present it in a silver utensil. When you give it to an authority, to a king, then you give it mivin bichli zahav ulamelech, and to a king, ba'avonim toivos margolios, you presented it with pearls, the highest level. The Omar David Melech Olav Hashalom Elecha Hashem to you Hashem, ma doroi navi. What can I give you? Should I give you gold? Should I give you silver? Should I give you precious stones? Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, what could you give Hashem? What is the ultimate gift you give Hashem? A clean neshama. Like we said, Melech HaMashiach, all of the kings of the world, they will use their resources to open their archives, to discover and to search who in their country is a Jew, a halachic Jew. And they will take those neshamas and present them as a gift to the Melech HaMashiach. Every person on their own level, you know the ultimate gift you can give Hashem? To give him your neshama. But what do we mean your neshama? Clean. To cleanse your neshama from all impurities. Elecho Hashem ma deronavi im klei chesed v'zav v'margolios ein choshev lefonav. Lezeh omar ein doron me'ule mechan neshama shetihye nikir. Ad kan devarim. V'li adal, over here the Achidah is saying that he's an expression of humility. I, the dal, the poor man in spirituality. A person has to refine his neshama. That is the ultimate gift. Okay, so Sacha, what do we do today? Take a look over here. Three psukim. We have the aleph base. In the order of the aleph base is very essential. That makes this mitzvah very chashuv. We learned about the ultimate gift you can give a Kadosh Baruch Hu is your neshama that is pure. We learned about in the Radak two interesting Radaks that we said the mizmah that carries weight. And we just said over here right now the mashal that a person gives a Kadosh Baruch Hu is neshama and he gets it back refreshed. And what else did we say over here? Remember, that was basically it. And we learned over here this is a David HaMelech by Mechel Basheva and a few other things in the middle. All right, we will stop, take a short break. I want to learn a little bit about, I know it's a little early, but I want to just begin to touch upon Shavuos.
There is also the yard side of the Saba Kadisha.
The Saba Kadisha.